Good morning, congregation, and a warm welcome to all visitors with us this morning, as well as those listening online. A few announcements this morning. There will be a council meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30. After hearing the congregation at last Sunday's congregational meeting, council has appointed brothers Kent Dykstra, Jerome Lankeek, and Peter Vanderkuchen to the office of elder, and brother Daryl Vanderburg has been appointed to the office of deacon. If no lawful objections are brought forward, these brothers will be ordained to their respective offices on Sunday, May 25th, 2014. Welcome to the Lord's table this morning are Harry and Joanne Voorhorst of the Canadian Reformed Church at Coaldale. And the song of approach this morning is Psalm 107, verse 1.
Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. With the myriads of angels, all the company of heaven and the church on earth, let us worship the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, receive his greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue praising our God and our risen Lord Jesus Christ with the words of hymn 32.
Thank you.
Our God and Savior, our covenant God, has gathered us because we are His people, the sheep of His flock, the pasture under His care. We hear the 10 words of His covenant law in Exodus 20 and respond afterwards by singing the stanzas 2 and 4 of Psalm 107, where we sing about our victory over our enemies, sin and death. Our God, who has saved us in Christ, declares these words to us: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ summarizes the law as follows: Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so, love of God and our neighbor is the fulfilling of the law. Brothers and sisters, let us now come to our God in prayer, confessing our sins, seeking His grace and mercy, which He has promised us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and also praying for His Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us this day and always. Let us pray. Praise be to You, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is Yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from You. You are the ruler of all things. In Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give You thanks and praise Your glorious name. We humbly acknowledge and confess before Your Holy Majesty, O Lord, that we are poor, miserable sinners. We were conceived and born in guilt and in corruption. And we are prone to do evil, unable of ourselves to do any good. And we continually transgress Your holy commandments, which we have again heard. Because of this, we deserve Your just condemnation, eternal death and hell. But, O Lord, with a humble heart, we repent and confess our rebellious behavior. We condemn ourselves and our evil ways, and ask You to be gracious to us and hear our prayer. Have compassion on us, merciful Lord, for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Savior and Lord. Wash us from all our sins, and again accept us as those for whom Your Son died and rose again, defeating sin in us and for us. Strengthen us this day by Your word and spirit. Inscribe Your word on our hearts. Impart the wisdom, understanding, and truth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Strengthen us also through the sacrament of the Holy Supper. Lord our God, we do not presume to come to Your table trusting in our own righteousness, for we are not even worthy of gathering the crumbs from under Your table, let alone to be fed with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious Father, we come only because of Your great mercy and love towards us. We come because You have invited us and called us to be Your children, Your great love and mercy. We open wide our mouths, O Lord. Feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now open Holy Scripture to hear the word of the Lord. Our text and our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 63, and our New Testament reading is Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. We turn first then to Psalm 63. Hear the word of God fulfilled in our risen Lord Jesus Christ. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Now we turn in the New Testament to Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let us now respond by singing stanza 2 of Psalm 36. We'll now proceed to the celebration of the Lord's Supper and the ministry of the Word and sacraments at the table. We turn then to the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. If you wish to follow along, you can find that in the Book of Praise on the pages 592 and following. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart, whether he also believes the sure promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. All who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. All who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. All who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure. All who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life. All liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, They shall not take of this food, which God has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world, according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he has taken our curse upon himself that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and never more be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him, and he declared, saying, as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you are reminded and assured of my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. It is a sure pledge that I have given my body and shed my blood for you. Otherwise, you would have suffered eternal death. I nourish and refresh your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As certainly as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you and you eat and drink in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." 1 Corinthians 10. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another, and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded to us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty, Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood. Yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed as they are set to music in hymn 1. And let us stand to do so. When we have Lord's Supper this morning, then all the communicant members of the congregation and also the communicant members of the Chinese Reformed Church who are with us this morning, as well as the announced guests, are welcome to come forward. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood, through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Let us now sing together the Lord's Supper hymn found in hymn 59. So this morning at the table, we consider God's word in Psalm 63, verse 1. I'll read that once again. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word that is preached to you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, in the worship of the early church, Psalm 63 was regularly used to introduce the singing of the Psalms in the Sunday service. Psalm 63 is a morning hymn, as we'll see shortly. And it's not only appropriate for Sundays and Sunday mornings, but for every day, for the morning of every day. As Christians, we should be known as those who seek God earnestly all the time. This is not only our duty, though, it is also a great privilege. The Holy Spirit tells us in Hebrews 11 that God rewards those who seek Him earnestly, using the exact words of Psalm 63. God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Indeed, brothers and sisters, when we earnestly seek God, we will not be disappointed. As we receive the food that Christ offers us in His Word and in the Lord's Supper, let us do so earnestly seeking Christ. Let us deeply long for everything that Christ desires to give to us. Let us open our mouths and our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. He will reward us. He will feed us. We will not be disappointed. We will eat together after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We'll drink together after the cups have been distributed. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us sing at this table the first stanza of Psalm 63.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters, as the Holy Spirit tells us at the beginning of this psalm, it was written by David when he was in the desert of Judah. David is in the desert on account of the conspiracy of his son Absalom. You can read about that in 2 Samuel. David has been forced to flee his palace. His dignity and his honor have been stripped from him. David finds himself in the middle of the desert in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The scorching heat has sucked the life from him. He has no energy. He's exhausted. He needs refreshment. He needs water if he is to survive. But there is none. But David isn't seeking water right now. That's not what he's asking for. He's seeking God. He needs God more desperately than anything. David is being hunted down by wicked people. But he doesn't seek revenge. He seeks only one thing. He seeks God. David has been robbed of his throne. He has been driven from his palace. But he doesn't ask for these back. David needs God. And he asks for God. And that's what Christ is calling us to do too, brothers and sisters. The more keenly, the more desperately, the more sharply we feel our own personal needs, whatever they are, to seek God first of all. That is what Christ is calling us to do. All the needs that we feel in our bodies and in our souls, all these needs are actually one great need: God. We all need God. And so with David we pray, "My soul thirsts for you, O God. My body longs for you. Feed me, Lord Jesus, and I will be satisfied. My soul will be content, and my body will find rest." We will eat together after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us sing at this table stanza 3 of Psalm 63. Psalm 63, as mentioned earlier, is a song for the morning, a morning song. Earnestly here means early. Early as in at the crack of dawn, at the first glow of light as the morning breaks. That's a good time to seek God, at the crack of dawn, very early in the morning, the moment you wake up. And you will not be disappointed when you do that. God will be present to listen to you, to answer you, to supply you with everything you need in body and in soul, as certainly as Christ has risen. Remember what happened at the crack of dawn on the first day of the week after Christ was crucified and buried. Very early, at the crack of dawn, the women were on their way to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. But as they would become convinced during the course of the day, Jesus had arisen. They sought Jesus early. They sought him at the crack of dawn. They came to the grave with sorrow and pain and sadness in their heart. They came seeking God. And they were not disappointed. God answered their deep need in a way that they had not thought, expected, or imagined. God answered them by raising their beloved Savior. This morning, indeed every morning, at the crack of dawn, every day as we awake to a new day, we awake into the presence of our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ. All our needs He supplies and satisfies. Never again will we hunger. Never again will we thirst, as we read in Revelation 7. The sun will not beat upon us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne is our shepherd. He is leading us to springs of living water, and He is wiping every tear from our eyes. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll eat together after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We sing at this table the fourth stanza of Psalm 73. Jet lag. We sing now stanza 4 of Hymn 73. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Psalm 103. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Romans 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Romans 5. Therefore, my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks in prayer. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. Lord, we give thanks to you for all that you give us and offer to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we may come to you with all our cares and burdens, with all our sorrows and sicknesses in body and soul, and that you feed us, that you fill us, that you give us rest and contentment, that you give us healing. Indeed, you promise us perfection. You promise that our bodies will be made like that of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, how we long for that day, when our bodies will be renewed, when our souls will be completely restored. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for mothers. We give thanks to you for the lives that you have created through them. We thank you for the love of our mothers that you show us through them, for their commitment and hard work and sacrifice for us. We pray that you would bless and keep them, that you would sustain them by your almighty power, that you would bless them through our deeds and words, that you would grant our mothers courage and joy and contentment, all for your sake and your glory. O Lord, we give thanks to you for the blessing of life. And we give thanks to you for all that you give to us and for all that we may enjoy in this life. And most of all, we give thanks to you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thanks to you for the church, which is our mother that is above. And we thank you that in the care of your church, we are blessed. We are well provided for. We are protected. We are granted healing and blessing and joy. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we give our thanks and praise to you. And in his name we pray. Amen. We now have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our offerings. Afterwards, let us stand and sing our parting hymn, hymn 62. brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of the triune God, your God, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.